This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of the world's best sports management games. Out of the Park Baseball 16, MLB Manager 2015, and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 are all award-winning sports strategy games that reward players every day in amazing ways. An entire universe of sports awaits on your PC or mobile device. Visit OOTPdevelopments.com today for more information. You can purchase Out of the Park Baseball 16 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 for Windows or Mac from Steam or from the Out of the Park Developments website, and MLB Manager 2015 from the iOS App Store or Google Play Store. Out of the Park Baseball 16 and MLB Manager 2015 are fully licensed by Major League Baseball.
Hey there, I am not Rich Grisham, longtime host of the Press Row Podcast. Instead, this is Brian Weedeye, a.k.a. Pasta Padre, and I'll be taking over hosting duties on the Press Row Podcast indefinitely. As Rich announced on the last show, he's taken on a new position and he will not have the necessary time to dedicate to it, so I've decided to step in and assume the mantle. A big thanks to him for spearheading the podcast and being a terrific host, and I'm sure he'll continue to be involved in some capacity, maybe even as a guest on future episodes. We're incredibly grateful for what he built and the platform it has become due to his hard work and dedication. While the show may be structured somewhat differently from now on, rather than the typical host panel type back and forth, we'll be covering all the same subjects with many of the same regular guests. I hope everyone enjoys the show going forward, and always feel free to send feedback and suggestions on Twitter to @PressRowPodcast and @PastaPadre. All right, welcome to the first Press Row Podcast of 2016. We've made it through awards season. We're about to exit the doldrums of sports video gaming because there are actual new games to look forward to again. We've got UFC coming up in March and MLB The Show 16 coming up in March. But tonight, I'm just excited to have with me Owen Good from Polygon, Kat Bailey, US Gamer, and TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer, here for the show. And before we get into our main topic, it has been several weeks since we've been all on a show, and the last one, I believe, was the Sports Game of the Year show. And we had plenty of time in the holidays to play games, maybe not in the case of TJ. We'll get to TJ here in a second. So we're going to keep with the staple of the Press Row Podcast, and that's what have you been playing or what have you been spending your time doing, because we know oftentimes we end up talking about TV or whatever else it may be, or with TJ, it's probably changing diapers. So TJ, as a new father, what has your gaming time been like the last few weeks?
Very few and far between. I've been playing a lot of Madden solos in Ultimate Team. That's been the main thing. Also, I don't know if people listening to this have heard, I've taken over as the community manager for Out of the Park Baseball. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing that a lot, simming a bunch of what if Ted Williams didn't go to World War II kind of scenarios and stuff.
Yeah.
Mainly Madden solos, because they're always putting out new ones, so I always have something to do.
So that's that's your ultimate team of choice right now?
Yeah, right now. I already have all the cards in MLB, so.
Yeah, you hit a wall. You hit a wall on that, right? And I wonder if they're going to adjust that going on in the next game, because there were a lot of people, not just you, who kind of got to a point where everybody had the same teams, and then you had every single card in the game, right?
Yeah, so I'm hoping with the new legends that they're adding, since they're going to have the old ones in as well, I assume they'll keep the same setup for the old ones. Mm-hmm. And maybe there'll be new sets for the new legends, so there'll be reason to do different things. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You don't mind me jumping in?
Yeah.
I'm kind of out on Ultimate Team too. But that's mostly because I accomplished my goal and I kind of got my Ultimate Vikings team. And so it was like, oh, I got MVP Kendricks and, you know, like all of the rare cards. And I was like, oh, okay, I got everything I want. And then I just didn't have any like motivation to play anymore. And I stopped. And
Have you been playing Draft Champions instead, or is that dropped off for you also?
Draft Champions exists in the service of Madden Ultimate Team for the most part. I think the problem with Draft Champions for me is the reason I don't play it casually is a lot of the time I will get, you know, a handful of really good players, and then the guys behind them are just crap. And so my team feels super unbalanced. They'll be like, all right, well, I got Amari Cooper as my first receiver and Leonard Hankerson is my second receiver. Okay, well, great. This is going to go well. And then I find myself throwing to Leonard Hankerson as much as I do Amari Cooper, and it starts getting really frustrating. I think that I would like them to see them balance that out a little bit better for next year's version of Draft Champions. I will say that good on them for making it so I could play with my friends, you know, like just play with my friends rather than playing randoms online.
Yeah.
The thing is that when I play Madden now, it's just for the Press Row Podcast League and another league that I'm in. So I don't have a lot of cause to play Draft Champions these days.
Yeah, so
Kat, I have the 87 Teddy Bridgewater if you need.
Oh, no, I was thinking about it, but I decided to go with Randall Cunningham as my quarterback because I'm like, you know, Randall Cunningham, Vikings legend from 1998. You know. Yep, lots of good memories there.
Yeah, especially like, that season, yeah.
I could have bought Dante Culpepper, and I thought about it really strongly, but I only have, like, maybe two good memories of watching Dante play, to be perfectly honest. Most of those teams were disappointing, so I decided to go with Cunningham.
Well, let's stick with you, Kat. What else have you been up to in the past few weeks?
Kicking the living crap out of the CPU Seahawks over and over again.
Does that help?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Literally kicking, by the way?
Not literally kicking, because they're like little digital guys in a video game, so that'd be pretty tough. I don't want to put my foot through the TV screen, though I almost did when Blair Walsh missed that field goal.
I feel like in that freezing weather, your foot would shatter either way.
Well, luckily I live in California. I was watching that from the comfort of my home in 50-degree weather, so it wasn't such a big deal, but I wasn't sitting outside, by the way, but... Congratulations, Brian. You guys won. I'm glad we put up a good fight. We weren't completely blown up again. We should have won that game. I'm not going to lie. We had you in our sights. But I knew as he was lining up, I could feel it. I could feel it in my heart that it was going to go wrong. And yeah, I didn't... The ball came off his foot, and I knew that it had missed. But
you know, I'll jump in here real quick, though. When you get with they're kind of a young team, right? So usually what happens is you see teams take these steps where they make the play. Like the Vikings took a big step by getting past the Packers and winning that division when no one really thought they'd do that. And then you get to the playoffs, and then you have to learn how to win in the playoffs. I mean, this happened with the Seahawks in 2012. Got to the playoffs, actually did win the one in Washington, but then lost excruciatingly to the Falcons the next week on a last-second field goal.
So what you're saying is we're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
I'm saying you'll probably get at least one victory in the playoffs next year. So
yeah,
I think it's a team on the rise, and that's pretty exciting at the very least. And you get the brand-new stadium next year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be so
the
awesome.
The Sandcrawler.
It's like a combination of a sand crawler and a Death Star. And the best part about that stadium is I didn't have to pay for it, and I still get to enjoy it because I live here and not there. Sorry, Minnesota.
Mm. So what have you been working on there, Kat? I know with relocation going on and everything, you wanted to touch on something.
Oh, yeah. So as we all know, the Rams are moving to Los Angeles. And I'm really conflicted about this. On the one hand, I don't like the St. Louis Rams. I think the LA Rams are a classic team. I think the LA Rams were stolen unjustly once upon a time. I like seeing them go back, but I also really feel bad for St. Louis Rams fans because I had my team stolen away a long time ago. And so did you, Brian. Like, you know exactly how that feels. It's kind of the worst. Yeah. So
if I can jump in, I had my team stolen away. It was the Charlotte Hornets, and our owner was, you know, he was a jerk at the end. I mean, I'd like to use a more colorful word, but he did possibly everything he could to alienate himself from his community. And unlike Minneapolis or Seattle, the Hornets put us on the map. And people, by the time they left, they couldn't give a, you know, couldn't care less for the Charlotte Hornets. And then they, you know, went down to New Orleans and ran it into the ground down there. So I have a bigger picture view of this, which is just that it's not necessarily the team itself. It's a little bit more the time and the players. And, you know, the St. Louis Rams were a franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs in 11 years and were a far cry from the greatest show on turf, you know, that won the Super Bowl with Torrey Holt of NC State and Gibsonville, North Carolina. But I don't want to impugn St. Louis fans or say that they didn't care about the Rams. That's false. But I think they can leave this with their dignity intact and their heads held high because, you know, Stan Kroenke's behavior was, I mean, ever since he took control, majority control of that ownership and 6 years ago, he's wanted out and has signaled as much. And they had just a ridiculous lease agreement with the Rams. It was basically just a game of sprint where, you know, well, if we decide that we don't have the best stadium in the league, we can leave. They
built the Edward Jones Dome in 1995.
Yep.
Or it was like in the mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
And that thing isn't even 20 years old. It's a freaking
joke. Oh, we're going to face it here in Charlotte because Bank of America Stadium is of the same vintage. And Jerry Richardson, you know, that marsled hairpiece, he's going to want something, you know, for his stadium too. And it'll be up to a, you know, a hotel or a sales and use tax or some other damn thing that they want, you know, to, or more. I mean, the thing with the Hornets when they left, I mean, Charlotte Coliseum, the original, it was an enormous indoor stadium. And the reason the Hornets left is because they weren't getting enough of a cut of the concessions and the parking. I mean, they will invent any reason that they're not rich enough. And I have to admire, you know, the city of St. Louis. I mean, they made an honest effort. They gave a workable proposal to the St. Louis Rams. And I think they're a noble martyr in this because, you know, the club never wanted to be there, or the ownership never wanted to be there. The city did, you know, put an honest effort out to retain them, and they get the benefit of not having to pay the extortion that every NFL franchise will want from now on when it, you know, doesn't have enough luxury boxes for its corporate masters.
Well, Owen, you'd be sad to know that I took my Carolina Panthers in the Press Row Podcast League and moved them to San Antonio.
San Antonio, where you're going to be competing with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough market.
Houston Texans.
Yeah.
You know, that's not as bad as what I did to the Packers, though, when I took them down to Mexico City and just abandoned them there.
LOL. I like it. Awesome. No, the reason I brought up the Rams was because I was reflecting on how this will be the last version of Madden that will have the Rams in St. Louis as a default. Next year, they're going to be in L.A., and that kind of makes Madden 16 almost sort of a time capsule type game. And I was already thinking about keeping that game anyway, because it also features the Vikings and like TCF Bank Stadium, which is like, oh, that's kind of a fun novelty, right?
Yeah.
And then it made me realize that sports games, like different sports versions of an annual sim, they're almost like time capsules, right? They give you a very specific look at where the sport and the league and where teams were at that time. I mean, think about, what was it, Madden 14, where the option became a thing because RG3 had gone completely nuts the year before. Or you think about Madden 2008 with that crazy historic New England Patriots team and 99 overall Randy Moss.
Hey, don't forget the Wildcat year, the year of the Wildcat.
Yes.
Miami Dolphins and Ronnie Brown. I forget who else was involved in that, they had to make that a big part of the game the next year.
Next year, the Rams are going to have options. They can play franchise mode, and they can immediately move the Rams back to St. Louis, in theory, assuming that St. Louis becomes an option, which I assume it will be.
Yeah,
that was I was wondering. I mean, are they going to put that into, you know, connected franchise mode? Is St. Louis is an option, and what nicknames will that team have?
Well, the St. Louis Stallions would be one of them, because.
Is St. Louis a dual city option in relocation now?
Not right now, no. But I have to imagine that they'll put it in. And if they don't, that'll be even sadder. But I imagine I imagine it'll be there. Yeah. So they can do that, or they can just pick whatever the St. Louis Rams uniforms they want rather than the inevitable L.A. Rams uniforms, because I'm sure they're going to change the uniforms and introduce new ones for L.A. and just do a total rebrand, which is good because the uniforms for the St. Louis Rams are actually kind of awful. But beyond that, you know, they're kind of stuck in Madden 17. Like, from this point on, the St. Louis Rams, as we knew them, are going to kind of cease to exist, and they're going to become the L.A. Rams. And I can tell you that picking the old uniforms is not a great stand-in for actually having your team in the game. But in Madden 16, you've got the St. Louis Rams. They're right there. You can play with your friends as them, or you can start a new franchise and create this alternate future where you're continuing with them into perpetuity. And so I just think that's kind of it's a cold comfort, but it's a comfort.
You know, it's painful for me. NBA 2K has the 95 Sonics, you know, and it's painful. I almost don't want to use them because it just brings back memories, bad memories of the team leaving and not having.
Yeah, but anymore. I wish other games had those teams. Like, yeah. I would kill if NHL, say, had the 91 North Stars, right? The team that went to the Stanley Cup, because I would love to play with, like, you know, Neil Broughton and all those guys, Mike Modano. When he was like super duper young and had a mullet and it was adorable.
but when NBA 2K12 had the first run of classic teams and the 93 Hornets were in there, I mean that took me so far back to my teenage years and you know, Dale Curry and not only it wasn't just, you know, Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues and Alonzo Mourning. I mean, you know, Kenny Gattison. You know, those names. I mean, some guys who had been around since the Dick Harter years and had really been with the team when it suffered. You know, that I adored playing with the Hornets because it reminded me of the good times, you know, much like, you know, what Kat said about the 91 North Stars, who actually I remember being in the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals, when I was just watching anything I could on television. I didn't understand hockey. But I also understand, Brian, what you mean, you know, about the pain, because it was the Sonics' departure was uglier by shades, you know, shades uglier than anything I've gone through as a professional sports fan and my limited experience here in the Sun Belt. That's for sure.
Sonic's departure is probably one of the biggest disgraces that I've ever seen from the NBA. But
agreed.
That's a digression. Sorry, Brian.
No, that's okay. There's a fantastic documentary on it called Sonic's Gate. Everybody loves it. I just can't watch it. I can't relive that stuff.
Oh, I know what you mean, watching those old videos. Yeah. And on the one hand, you're like, oh, that's awesome. And the other hand, you're like, oh, God, that hurts. Yeah. But I wish sports games would pay a little more attention to the past. I mean, NBA 2K, even NBA 2K, which was so good about it before, has moved away from it a bit. But at the same time, sports sims are so much about looking toward the future and, like, oh man, looking toward next season and the new players that are coming onto my team and wish fulfillment and being able to build a franchise for the next 10 years that history almost seems like.
It's not only that, they're also very idealized portraits of the leagues and the teams that they present. And, you know, when we're talking about franchise realignment, I mean, I'm still kind of surprised that this is a thing in the career modes in NBA, in NFL, their video games anyway, because it hauls up so many ugly, you know, conceptions about, I mean, these are you know, deadly mercenary businesses. And, you know, they want free money as much as any other business would want free money or corporate welfare or tax breaks or whatever. And, you know, and it's kind of intriguing. I know it hasn't gotten much attention in the past 2 years in Madden, you know, your owner options. But, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, the local support of a stadium is part of your relocation package.
Yeah, you can't relocate unless your stadium's really old and nobody supports your team.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, it's just like you can't be the total benevolent dictator and come in and say, I am so super rich, I will build this whole thing with my money, not demand a cent from taxpayers. You know, that would be phony as hell anyway. But it's just interesting that there is some sort of a component of having to work with a local area to get your stadium in the first place before you can trigger the move. that there is even that gesture to it at all is kind of interesting to me. But anyway.
And I think, to Kat's point, I think they probably would go more into their history if they didn't keep getting sued over it.
Well, and that's with the NFLPA.
Yes, yes, and retired players.
Right.
So that ties into something we'll be getting to later. So Owen, what have you been playing? What have you been up to lately?
Oh, man, I have just been down a rabbit hole of Fallout 4.
Oh.
That's really all I can say. I mean, I have dipped back into some FIFA just to get a break. I have dipped back into Rory McIlroy, and I talked about this the last time we were on the podcast. But it's been mainly Fallout because without trying to give up or without giving up spoilers, I'm trying to manipulate. You have four factions in this game, and I'm trying to manipulate all of them such that I can come to an ultimate goal that I find satisfying emotionally as well as narratively. And I've been doing a lot of reloading and replaying. I'm more or less a filmmaker and less a role player in this game. But that it's a very enjoyable game. I think you end up really overpowered in it sooner than you might want to, and then it just sort of becomes a collection scheme. But I hope to finish this all off this week, and when I do, I'm just going to put it aside and get into a lot of these other things that I'm neglected. You know, I want to play more Battlefront, for example. Mm-hmm. I want to start looking ahead to some other things that are coming in on the calendar. Fallout 4 has been a very nice trip, but it's been a little bit too much of an obsession for me, so I think I need to move along.
So, yeah, for me, I finished up Tomb Raider, and then it was all about Until Dawn, which was a game I picked up as a Black Friday deal. I think it was $20. And it was some of the most fun I've had in a long, long time playing, because I had people there with me watching it, and it's basically... it's an interactive movie, but the choices you make along the way affect what happens later or what happens at that moment. And it was hilarious because I'd be playing and I'd be getting feedback from the people there with me telling me what I should do, what I shouldn't do. And some of these are split second decisions. It was a ton of fun for me, and that's a game I would definitely recommend on the PlayStation 4. So... let's get into our main topic for the night. And if there's probably two topics that come up in sports gaming more often than anything else, and that's the NFL licensing, and then there's college video games. And how they fit into the genre now that they or how they don't fit into the genre as it seems it is now. Between the struggling sales you had for college basketball that led to their demise, and then the likeness related lawsuits that eventually would bring an end to college football, we've been without them for 6 years now for basketball, and this will be the third year without a college football game. So I've been covering all of this since it really began in 2008, 2009 with the lawsuits and with the cancellations of the basketball games because they weren't selling enough. And I wrote about it in great detail for Hit the Pass, which is worth checking out if you want the full picture of the situation, and then also covered for other sites. Let's first talk about why college video games no longer exist. And I know, Owen, you've been covering all this from the beginning also. How would you sum up, you know, how we got to where we are right now as far as we don't have any college video games, and we haven't for a while, and you know, it's a little bleak even still right now?
Well, the first thing is that the NCAA March Madness College Hoops series of games by EA and 2K Sports, they were always a second banana to their pro basketball counterparts, and they were cannibalized because they came out a month later, if not more. I mean, they came out around the middle of November, where the NBA games were at the beginning of October.
And EA even tried with March Madness 1 year to bring it out in February or right at the start of March, and that didn't work
right.
Either.
Yeah, that was a limited downloadable game with the 64 teams in the tournament that year. And it attempted to capture what everyone understands about college basketball, which is if you are not a passionate college basketball fan, you don't have a dog in the fight. You really only care about this 1 month out of the year, 3 weeks out of the year, really. And so that's why the college basketball games failed. Now, as far as the football games, I mean, that's really It's very easy there. There was a massive lawsuit that finally, you know, shook the iniquity of how college, major college sports make money and what they give in return to the athletes performing in them. And the NCAA has just been I think the NCAA is its leaders, Mark Emmert and, you know, his board and the athletics directors that we hear so much about. I don't think much of Emmert's leadership. I don't think much of the organization. But I do think in their heart of hearts, they are delusional enough to think that this isn't about the money. The problem is all of their actions, the net effect of them is to control all of the money. And it's also about control as well, which is, you know, control of athletes' likenesses, what they can do in the off season, whether or not, Christ, they can run in a 5K fun run if they're in a, you know, a cross-country athlete at a college program and they get a T-shirt from one of these things.
Or but like to get or it, but, you went into, Owen, with the women in the FIFA game even.
Yeah, I mean, that was a perfect example of just how, you know, what are you doing? You know, if your purpose is to expand opportunities, you know, not just for all athletes, but, you know, women in particular. I mean, we're now in the 40 what year of Title IX. You know, this is an enormous PR win for you. Look at how many collegians are starring in a game that's mainly about professional players and the world's best. But no, they had to put their foot down and insist on their petty rules, which no one cares about. No one. No reasonable person does. But college football was tanked because EA Sports was building that game as basic the way they would build Madden, which is it has to reflect the current season. It has to reflect the top performers in the game. It has to reflect the reputations of the top teams in that year. You can't just, you know, throw a skin on, you know, a bunch of generic teams. I mean, it really is a design problem people talk about. Well, maybe they can just randomize the players. Well, how – if you're just going to randomize everything, you might end up with a video game where Tulsa is the number one team in the nation. Mm-hmm. And who's going to buy that? They were undone. I mean, EA Sports was building these games with the real rosters as a starting point and then removing the names. I mean, well, that came out in the testimony.
Yeah, that they – and there was actually a point where they had – agreed, the NCAA had agreed to allow names in to the video game until they axed that at the last minute. So those negotiations kind of were ongoing behind the scenes the whole time. And you're right, they would have the names in essentially and build them around that and then take them out for the actual release.
And I just keep coming back. I think there was testimony or there was discovery. It was an email or something. It was from an assistant athletics director down at Texas. And this person was being brought up to speed on what their arrangements were with EA Sports, and this person asked, "Aren't we supposed to be protecting our students from this kind of thing?" Mm-hmm. And you know, the question sort of hung in the air, and they obviously continued with this, and now it's the NCAA's, you know, butt in a crack, you know, over this, as opposed to, I mean, you know, EA Sports and the CLC have gotten out of this with that $60 million settlement. But, you know, college football is what drives the bus in collegiate athletics. And it's interesting because obviously Ed O'Bannon is the guy whose name is attached to the lawsuit that, you know, has, you know, the great potential to rearrange the face of the NCAA and how it does business. But, you know, nobody really thinks of this as a college basketball video game problem. And when, you know, O'Bannon's issue is, I mean, he graduated in 95. So this is about him as an old timer, you know, well after his active years. So it's kind of interesting in that regard.
Yeah, they have other, there were other people who had,
oh man,
I mean,
there's like, so, Bill Russell from the San Francisco Dons was in there.
Yeah, Sam Keller was the other kind of big one as far,
well, yeah,
the big one for college football essentially.
Yeah,
there was also a Rutgers player who
yeah, right, Rutgers quarterback Ryan, yeah. I forget his name, you know, and there's a lot of people who are involved in this, but I think, you know, I don't think any rational person looks at this and doesn't understand the fundamental inequity of it. you know, people start talking about whether – I think people sort of make themselves comfortable when they say that a college scholarship is, you know, one-for-one cash money compensation for labor performed. And every time I hear that, I go, well, then why aren't the best players at Duke and Stanford and Baylor and Vanderbilt? Because those are the schools that have the highest cost of attendance. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think we're getting a little bit off track here. It was an unsustainable thing because it was built on this very unstable foundation of players are kind of flattered to be sort of represented in this game, and they don't really have a lot of power to challenge it. So we'll just keep going along, and you know, they have this fig leaf. And of course, EA Sports did everything they could to enable the community to edit these rosters and to share that around. You know, that EA Sports wouldn't do it themselves, but they, I mean, how soon after launch were we seeing fully complete named rosters? And obviously they would do other things too, like adjust depth charts and add players and stuff like that. You know, they introduced it. Used to be you mailed the your memory cards around.
Well, that was a different issue because people were charging for it.
Well, but then EA just said, the hell with it, we'll allow you to share it over Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. And that, you better believe, played a big role in them realizing just how deep they were in this and coming into a settlement. You know, this is to try to tie this off, and I'm sorry, I know I've rambled on a lot here. You know, everybody talks about, well, you know, the NCAA is only interested in money, and obviously EA Sports or Electronic Arts is a publicly traded company. They're only interested in money. And they will eventually get their heads together and come up with a new product again. There's a political cost to this that, you know, the NCAA is bearing in all of its decisions. And if the eight teams, was it, in NBA 2K16,
yeah,
notwithstanding, if you go into it with any kind of an organized, licensed effort, I mean, especially in football, it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. And you kind of saw it this week, and I'll leave you the segue here, which is people don't really understand what kind of a mainstream sports topic it is when the actors in sports video games get caught with their hands in the cookie jar. And we saw that this week,
yeah,
when EA Sports did something dumb and all of a sudden Sports Illustrated and Deadspin and the Sporting News and everybody is talking about it.
Yeah, that was it was big news. And so that was a debacle, to say the least. And we went 18 months with EA's social media accounts dormant, Twitter and Facebook. And this was something I had monitored. I've monitored these accounts for pretty – I check on them every couple of days because I knew if there was any activity, something must have changed internally. You know, you could make a safe assumption that, mm-hmm, if there was any activity on those pages, because they were – I'm pretty sure they were barred from even doing anything, even talking about it publicly,
the game
or the series. There's a reason why they abandoned those accounts for the time being, that something would be going on. And so earlier this week, the morning of the national championship game, all of a sudden there's a 3-second video of a heartbeat, of a pulse. And and there's no other way to interpret that, right, other than something's coming back to life, you know, and that's why everyone jumped on it, all the mainstream sites, and we did, and Owen, you were the first to get a direct comment on it from EA. And before I go to Kat and TJ on a few things, your comment from, you know, explain what the comment was you received from them, and then do you buy their explanation?
Their comment was basically that I had two emails with them. One of them was off the record. The other was on the record. And then they followed that up with that formal statement. Mm. And the total picture I get of this is somebody had no idea when they hit send what they were dealing with. And they didn't expect it to be noticed. And they didn't expect it to blow up the way this did. I think somebody thought that they would have a little fun and troll the audience, and it completely backfired. The conversations that I've had with people I know down at Tiburon, conversations plural, is that somebody had a very bad day on Monday after this happened and tone deaf was the phrase that I kept hearing about their conduct. But I back up, and it's like when this blew up, Andy Staples of Sports Illustrated, you know, he was in on it too on Twitter. And it was, you know, that's a huge signal boost to whatever's going on. And I think sometimes it's useful to step outside of our bubble and look to a guy like Andy for a clear-eyed, sharp take on this. And his reply was, EA Sports is either lying or incredibly stupid. And I think they were just incredibly stupid. The quality of responses I received about there not being anything going on with NCAA, I would be surprised if I was lied to.
Yeah.
Because they were personal to me.
Yeah.
It's one thing to look at the at a blanket statement that's, you know, coming on a corporate letterhead and you go, oh, well, they're just, you know, because nobody ever cancels game series anymore. They just sunset them because they want, you know, the hell, they don't want to shut off forever that this will never come back.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to sort of look on it that way. But knowing what I know about who I talk to and how they talk to me, somebody did something really, really, really dumb. There was a high cost, and other publishers, not even in sports, noticed it, and it became a real water cooler topic in the industry of video games this week.
Well, the funny thing to me was, I replied to you on Twitter after that, and I said, you know, actually their explanation, I kind of buy it because it's as corny as their social media accounts usually are.
Yeah.
The whole, our heart still beats for the big game. Our community's heart still beats for the big game.
Well, that was all added in after the
yes.
fact. Originally, it was just a video.
Yeah, so that was their explanation, though, in their public comment. So I said to myself, that sounds like something corny that they would actually post, because they've done that before. Now, the accompanying video makes no sense. I don't see the correlation between that and the national championship game. So, Kat, I know you're a big Gophers fan, right?
A matter of speaking.
You know, did you have an initial reaction to what was going on with this NCAA stuff when EA's post went up?
I noticed it for the first time through Deadspin because I'm on the West Coast and it had already blown up by the time I woke up. My first thought was, oh, EA might be bringing back NCAA football. That's interesting. And then I saw the update with Owen's tweets and everything, and it gave me pause. And I thought to myself, okay, well, either they're, as you guys already said, they're already playing it kind of cool and coy and just kind of teasing us a little bit, or they're actually being serious. And listening to you guys talk, my first thought was, I don't know. We've talked about this before. We've talked about NCAA football coming back before, and I'm just not sure I see it because making a sports franchise is such an investment. And even if EA is able to resolve all of the legal things and come up with a workable way to approach this without using likenesses and having to pay all of the student athletes that they're going to use, but they still have to make the game. And I'm not sure, like NCAA football, like as much as some people liked it, was always kind of the little brother to Madden. And in that light, I sort of feel like maybe EA would have looked at it and went, it's not really worth it, is it, to be making these two football games that are kind of stepping all over each other's toes. We might as well just focus on Madden. And there will always be a segment of people who are really into college football and really prefer college football to the NFL and desperately want an NCAA football game. But I don't want to like generalize, but I feel like that's sort of a regional thing. I sort of feel like a lot of that is in the Southeast, where college football still very much dominates, and it's arguably a lot more regional than, say, even NHL, for example. And so when you're talking about something that has that kind of hardcore regional appeal, then at that point you're talking about a game that for some people it's going to be the game of the year, and for the rest of the people it's going to be that game that you play until Madden comes out, if you pick it up at all.
Do you feel like NCAA's absence has affected Madden at all? Like when NCAA was canceled, one of my concerns was one of the things I liked about NCAA was they would usually take some risks with it. They would innovate a little bit, and sometimes they'd take those ideas that worked and transfer them to Madden the next year. And they had, you know, they had development teams working closely together, working on gameplay engines together, and then they would tweak them to fit college versus the pros. And so, as far as the investment they would make, being able to spread that between two games, I thought seemed advantageous for them. So, but now Madden is getting the benefit of they have some of the talent from the NCAA team working on Madden all the time. I'm just curious if you think Madden is better off without NCAA right now, or do you think it would actually benefit from having NCAA around?
Yeah, I can't really speak for that. My impression back when NCAA was still being made was that they were two separate teams who were using the same technology, but were otherwise doing their own thing. And yeah, maybe they were kind of feeding off one another, but this is just speculation on my part, but I always felt like the NCAA guys kind of had something to prove. Mm-hmm. And so they were like really kind of pushing it with like the dynasty modes and like trying to really like hammer home the presentational elements of NCAA football. And Madden was kind of in its own universe, and they would cherry pick the stuff that worked with NCAA football. Now that's just speculation on my part, but that was the impression that I got.
Even NCAA was where the online dynasty originated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even features like that, I think, that made a huge impact on the genre as a whole, because it spread to everything else.
As for where Madden stands now, I mean, Madden is worlds better than it was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of pure quality, but that has nothing to do with NCAA football. It's that they turned over the staff for the most part, and I think they have some pretty strong leadership there, and they seem to have a pretty clear vision of where they want to go this time around. So as a result, Madden's like making strides. So if Madden has improved, I don't really think that NCAA football's like presence or absence really has anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. TJ.
Brian.
Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey. Well, you guys are talking about football teams, and I live in the world of Schrodinger's football team, where my state, at the same time, has no football teams and also has two football teams. So.
The wonderful state of New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. So, tell me, TJ, what was your relationship with the NCAA football franchise? I mean, was this a game you bought all the time?
All the time. Loved it. Going back to 2001, 2002, NCAA was one of my favorite franchises. There were years where I would get NCAA and not get Madden. And unlike Kat, I felt that Madden was always better for what NCAA did. NCAA would take risks, and then two or three years down the line, Madden would take what NCAA built, make it just a little bit better, and then bring it on. Stuff like the online dynasties and stuff. And the option, they like perfected it in NCAA football, brought it to Madden, and then everybody ran the option and made that not fun anymore.
So what was
Though I run the shovel option all the time now, so it's great.
In Madden?
Yeah.
Yeah. So picking up on some, yeah, your talents in the NCAA football franchise transferring over, huh?
Yep.
You know, what was your thoughts on the Ultimate Team in NCAA Football 14? You want to recap for me? Because I'm curious, if there was an NCAA football game right now, TJ, do you think they would have been able to evolve that mode to keep up with all the stuff they're doing in Ultimate Team now?
I think they still would have had a lot of good stuff, but I don't think they would have been able to, you know, evolve as much as is going on with Madden right now. Like right now, every week you're getting Team of the Week cards, Football Outsider cards. And in NCAA, since you were only using players that were no longer in college, you didn't really have that opportunity. They would come through every once in a while and like upgrade some players and upgrade some legends. But I don't think they could have kept it rolling as they do with the Madden version this year. And one of the things, I think most people that play Ultimate Team know that there's like a tax, an EA tax on every transaction. So like if you sell a card for 275,000 coins, there's a 10% tax, so you only really make like 250. NCAA had that. I think it was a 20% tax, which was even crazier. But then they also charged you every time you put a card up on the auction house. So you could literally get to a point where you have cards and no coins and you can't do anything, which was kind of awesome.
Owen, going back to you, you mentioned the eight college basketball teams there in NBA 2K. I received a question on Twitter kind of regarding this. Do you think they're going to expand college basketball presence in NBA 2K, or is there a scenario where one of the publishers would actually do another standalone college basketball game?
No to the latter. I don't think the development and the licensing costs and the lack of will on any kind of an organized level from the NCAA, its conferences, and the major schools leads me to think that that is just a long way from ever happening and is certainly dependent upon this legal action getting cleaned up. That said, never say never with anything regarding NBA 2K because they are creative as hell and they have money galore to throw at what they want to do with that game. And they have really, you know, like I said, three straight years, they've given us a new narrative on their My Career Mode and who knows what they could do next year. And, you know, who knows how UCLA, how Kansas, you know, how some of these other teams that licensed themselves into this minor mode felt about that association and what, you know, they would, you know, if they felt like it was worth their time. You know, obviously you're talking about more brand extension than money, I think. And if others, especially their rivals, would be encouraged to join the show. I don't know what they have planned next year. I would fully expect they have something completely different planned next year because that's what they've done every year. So, yeah, it's possible that you have 16 teams next year. I don't know. Maybe you have an entire conference next year. Maybe you have, you know, one major team and its rival. Maybe you have Duke, North Carolina. But I think if it proceeds, it will be on an individual basis. Individual schools will be approached and convinced to join up, and it's going to be a branding-only thing, and that's it.
Kat, I'm going to ask you on this one. Had another tweet come in. Wants to know, are EA and 2K the only publishers who would really take on a project such as these? Or is there someone else who could be a surprise entrant in that, whether it's indie or otherwise?
In terms of big-time publishers?
In terms of anyone, could you see anyone else other than EA or 2K ever doing a college basketball game in the future, or college football?
Not really. Not that I can think of. From an indie perspective, I think that it would be too big of a project for them to take on unless they went with something like really stylized. And from a big time publisher perspective, it's like what Ubisoft and Activision, like they have no history basically at all with sports, and Ubisoft's like in France. So no, I don't see anybody beyond Take-Two and EA taking this on.
TJ, you wanted to jump in. Go for it, Bob.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that when that little heartbeat video went up on Facebook, the first thing that I thought, because, you know, the game's already made, we have Xbox One with this new Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, I had a feeling that if there was actually going to be an announcement, I had zero feeling that it was going to be a new game, but I thought maybe they would give backwards compatibility to NCAA Football 14. Mm-hmm. Which I believe made the price skyrocket on Amazon.
Yeah.
Right now, if you want to buy an Xbox 360 copy, the price is $148. Oh,
are you kidding? Is that for real?
Yeah.
$45.95
on the PlayStation 3.
No, what's crazy about that is I bought it digitally. They had a sale. It was like last year or something. It was like $10 on PS4 digitally or PS3, sorry. And then Xbox 360 was the same. And it's funny how that works. So physical copies still more valuable, huh?
Yep. I think you can sell yours now for about $60 if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Or more.
So you bring up backwards compatibility, TJ. Now, my understanding of that is that it's not going to happen. I know a lot of people have asked about it. I know people have voted for it on, I don't know, was it an Xbox site or something, as far as getting backwards compatibility on Xbox One. And my understanding is it's not going to happen. There's too many licensing questions.
Yeah, the licensing has to be the big deal here. I mean, you know, look at Marvel just had a bunch of licensing things expire with, like, Little Big Planet, and then they get removed from the PlayStation Store. If you look at, I mean, have any other licensed titles been made backward compatible regardless of genre?
I don't believe so.
So there you go.
Yeah. And then you even have the legal implications of the settlement. And so on, where this would almost be a quasi re-release or a new promotion of a game. And I can guarantee you they do that. And the players who are represented in that game are going to say, wait a second, you know, can we sue them again? You can sue for anything. Who knows if they'd win? But I mean, EA doesn't want to face that again. So I don't think that's going to happen. And that was my understanding of that. Let's go around the table, though, here. And just say, you know, what is your prediction for college football? Let's just stick to college football. What's your prediction? Do you see it coming back? Kat seems pessimistic. Do you see that coming back in the next few years, next 5 years? Never? You know, what are you expecting? Let's start with you, Kat. Let's go back to you on that.
R.I.P.
Forever.
It's gone.
Wow.
The momentum is, there's just no momentum whatsoever for it. And it's kind of a big risk, right? I mean, it would require a lot of resources to go make this game. And I don't think they've really solved the problem of what they're going to do with player likenesses. I'm just not seeing it. I think EA has moved on, and I don't see anybody picking up the ball and running with it. So, sorry, everybody. I guess NCAA Football 14 is going to have to be your last. It's going to have to be your game.
It really is a daunting project, certainly to at least start from scratch. And after years off, you almost have to do that with a lot of things. You might have some assets you can carry over, but more than any other sports game, right? I mean, you're talking 100 and some teams. You're talking 100 and some stadiums.
And the industry is so risk averse. I mean, unless they see like a clear opportunity to really make a lot of money, if they're just going to break even on this, then they're not going to do it. So, I don't know. I'm just not sure that I see it.
Owen, your thoughts?
I think Kat's right in that this is, you know, this is it's a very old media project, and bear with me on that metaphor. You know, it's a legacy thing. It's like, you know, this thing, NCAA football was made for 16 years, wasn't it, when it was canceled? And so it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that people had a high expectation that this thing would come out, and that was a large part of the market. And now that expectation is gone. And so that part of the market is gone, and people have moved on to other things. And so you have to go back in and regenerate that market. So that's part of the cost, too, to say nothing of the development costs and all the other things that you would have to do. Obviously, when it was the wild, wild west on the 8 and 16-bit console days and you could do anything, and then you got your foot in the door, and then that just became, you know, the foundation, the building blocks for subsequent products, you know, you sort of see how these games, which are – They're unsustainable on a one-year basis, but now you understand why they became so essential in the mind's eye. It's really because of their long history. Without that history, yes, I don't think it's ever coming back. That said, I think that there is potential for this to be some kind of a mobile game. Obviously, microtransacted to hell.
Oh, no.
Well, it's nothing like what we expect or, frankly, you know, the listeners of this podcast really want to play or look to play, but there's a ton of money. You know, Madden NFL Mobile is nothing that we cover or talk about, but it's still out there and it still makes dough. And I could see EA Sports or someone else, if they wanted to, with a license, you know, creating, you know, beginning with a limited experience that's, you know, just the top 20 teams, and then it's the Power Five conferences, and now we've added in a bowl season. And of course, you're buying all of the crap that that goes along. And then you arrive later at some kind of a tablet football game with your favorite team and, you know, tricking out their uniforms and all that other nonsense.
You're forgetting.
But it would be nothing like what we played.
You're forgetting something very important, Owen. What about virtual reality?
Virtual reality, and we could have an entire podcast.
We probably will at some point.
But, this truly is the darkest timeline, by the way, Owen. And the horrible thing is that I think you're right. If it does come back, it'll be as a tablet game. That's horrible.
But people, about virtual reality, people don't want to play virtual reality sports video games because they remind them of how bad they are at them in real life. And the whole point of a sports video game is to do things beyond your athletic means in real life. I can't imagine. I think the worst video game for virtual reality would be golf.
Mm.
Because I can go play golf in real life and be very, very bad at it in real life. And I would rather, no thanks, play East Lake on my Xbox One and shoot par there and feel like I accomplished something rather than go shoot 120 in virtual reality and go, I wasn't even there and I played like crap anyway.
It also costs a lot more to throw your virtual reality headset into the water than just a club.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. What do you think, TJ? You want to take a shot here, I guess, on NCAA football, or it wouldn't be NCAA. That's another thing we could talk about is, you know, even if college football comes back, it's not going to be NCAA branded, I would think, right, Owen?
No, I don't think it would. I think it would be I think it would probably be CFP branded at best. Hmm. And you know, I don't even think you would have, like, all of the teams in the SEC. You know, because, you know, who cares? Who wants to play Mississippi State on a tablet game? No offense to Mississippi State. I come from NC State. People don't want to play NC State on a tablet game. So, no, it wouldn't be a fully branded thing, and so therefore an NCAA license would be meaningless.
So, TJ, jump in here. Your thoughts on the future of college football.
Yeah, I don't think anything is going to happen until all these lawsuits get settled out. And even then, unless EA Sports can figure out a way to take Madden and just move the hash marks wider and have the clock stop after a first down, and that costs literally them nothing to do all that, then maybe they would even consider doing something. But like Owen just said, if you can't get all the teams, you're going to end up in this weird pro Evo situation where even if the game's great, nobody wants to play fake Alabama. Like the Maroon Elephants.
Or worse. They'll have the Power Five conferences and nothing else, and all the reviewers will pan the game and say, remember when NCAA 14 had all of the little schools? I mean, man, this is just a pale shadow of the original NCAA.
Well, we had that with McElroy versus Tiger Woods the previous year, essentially.
And they know that, and they that's why this has just got to go to a completely different format. You're both right, yes.
Yeah, so in my mind, you know, I'm sticking to my kind of 2 to 3 year window. The O'Bannon class action suit has to still go through appeals process, and they have to come to an agreement on a procedure to pay players. And they originally the judge had come up with an idea of having like a $5,000 trust and paying into that, and then now there's some, you know, that's been overturned, and there's some question about how they're going to compensate players, and so that still hasn't been ironed out. EA's going to need something that they can pay into. It's going to have to be like, you know, similar to a players association where you're playing where you're paying for a group of people instead of you. They're not going to be able to do a game if they have to negotiate individually with every single college football player. And if they did, you'd only get the recognizable people in. They wouldn't worry about backup offensive linemen and anyone else. It'd just be the quarterbacks, the running backs, a few receivers, and a few defensive backs. So, we're still years away. I mean, I get questions about it all the time. When's it going to happen? And it all depends on the legal process. So, it's something we continue to follow closely because everybody has a stake in this. And you saw it from the response to the EA post this week, because it was not just news. There was a groundswell of people who were legitimately and understandably excited about the potential of it coming back. And if college football came back and it was in the form that people expect, you know, not like what Owen was suggesting could happen, but an actual console game with all the teams, all the modes you expect, all the bells and whistles, you saw there is genuine interest out there. And I'm pretty sure you guys would all agree, right, that if it came back, it would still be a big seller. The question is it going to be profitable?
Define big seller.
Well, I mean, what was it selling before? A couple million a year, right? So, I mean, not quite half of what Madden would sell. But more sales than they get for NHL, more sales than they get for UFC, more sales.
And the licensing costs, I think, also were smaller even than NHL.
Yeah, that's
when you look at the agreements that they had, it was not a lot of money. I mean, you know, you're talking about the top 25 schools in the nation getting $75,000 a piece.
Yeah. So, and they what? They were paying Tiger Woods alone $16 million a year.
Yeah.
So there's then it just comes down to how much are they going to have to pay to secure the rights to the players? Because we're not going to get a generic game. We're not going to get a game where you can edit names and share them again. It's just not going to happen. The only way we're going to get a game is if they have names, or they go like an Ultimate Team route and do, you know, the history, or they go with a mobile game, or, you know, a text-based game where you can actually use the names without getting sued. I don't know. But there is definitely interest out there for the game, and people haven't given up on it. I mean, how much do you miss NCAA? Do you notice it? Do you feel it when that time comes every year now? Because we've missed two releases now.
I mean, I wrote about it when it was supposed to have come out, so I guess so. But I will say that, yes, I do miss it, mostly from the perspective of the more the merrier. I like having more sports games. And NCAA football had a very different flavor to it from Madden. The thing that I remember, my overarching memory of it, was that it captured the atmosphere and the style of the college game really well. And I think people forget this, but it just had a really good franchise mode. Mm-hmm. It did a lot of things that were really smart and that I really wanted Madden to copy, and unfortunately never did. Like the coaching, like skill trees and stuff like that, and the recruiting was so good. Like it feels like Madden's draft mode has only just now caught up to what NCAA football was doing with recruiting like 3 or 4 years ago. So...
I think they really caught on at the end with the recruiting and figured out how that interaction is best represented. NCAA 14, I thought, was the culmination of a really good player management mode and a very unique system of player acquisition. And the great thing about NCAA is it really is timeless, because the rosters are completely different after 4 years. The only thing that you don't have, if you have a copy of NCAA 14, the only thing you don't have is you don't have the college football playoff.
Yeah, and that's.
But you can realign all the conferences. You can go into Team Builder. You can put Appalachian State in the Sun Belt. You know, you can do all kinds of nonsense.
Oh yeah, that was so great. I loved being able to realign like the rivalry matchups and the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you can do it year to year. Also, I mean, it's not just like you set it once in your dynasty and it's fixed for 99 years. You can change it every single year. It's really a versatile game.
Yeah, the irony of the whole likeness thing was that the reason why I liked NCAA football was that I didn't really know the players, you know? Like, I didn't know them, and oftentimes I'd choose a school that I was not familiar with. So because I found that when I played the games, I didn't – like in Madden, if you have, you know, Antonio Brown, you're going to try passing to him even if he's not open, right? And you're going to force the ball certain ways, and you're going to do certain things based off your real-life perceptions of these people. And in the college games, I would just find the open man, you know, or I would put in the best player, you know, put in my recruit over in a player who – a real-life, you know, representation of a player, although EA would say, no, it's not real life. So I actually enjoyed the games more because of that And then once you get through a few years, you're on to all those generated players anyway. And that's really when the fun comes through, is when you've recruited, when you're improving the players as they move up. That's really what I miss about it the most, is that we only have professional now, and you have all these built-in perceptions of players and how you should play with them to replicate what they're doing in real life. So,
and I'm not going to say that NCAA football didn't have its problems, but I think the thing that I really liked is that when you were playing a big game, you felt like it was a big game, mm-hmm. right? Your controller was shaking. It sounded like everything felt super loud.
Look, they had home field advantage. We still don't have that in Madden.
I just loved that if I was playing as, like, I don't know, a small team, or if I was playing as, like, the Gophers or something, and I would go into, like, Ohio State, or I'd go into Alabama, like, it would actually feel actively intimidating. I would feel the stadium coming down on me. And that's the kind of thing that you would definitely get in college. And I think you could appreciate this, Brian. I mean, it's so strange to me that, say, CenturyLink doesn't have a special home field advantage or something to that effect.
Yeah, CenturyLink Arrowhead or any of those places that you go and you play a game in Jacksonville feels the same way as you play one in Seattle or Kansas City, you know?
And Ryan, you missed the best part of NCAA football. It had a single-player career mode that you could actually finish.
Yes.
Without needing year-to-year saves or
yes.
anything crazy.
Wow, that's a great point.
More to the point there, TJ, it had you could adjust the difficulty. There was two difficulties: the rate at which you acquired XP, and then the playing difficulty on the field. So if you were ranking up too fast or felt, you know, you could go do another playthrough with, like, Heisman level XP acquisition and, you know, varsity level difficulty. It was a very versatile game.
Yeah, and a lot of that still hasn't made its way to Madden, as we're seeing as we talk about this now.
The thing that makes me sad is that it never made it to the PS4 and the Xbox One. Like, it was right on the cusp of that next generation transition. If it could have just made it one more year, you could be playing it on the PS4. Gosh darn it!
Yeah, it would have lasted a lot longer. I mean, I think it has longevity, but you're right. If it could have, not only if it could have held out 1 year, not only would it have been on current generation consoles, it would have had the CFP in it,
it would have been easier to bring back, right? I mean, because they would have developed it for the new consoles instead of having to start that whole process over now.
Yeah, that's going to be the real backbreaker when people look back on it and realize what's going.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite obvious, since we want EA Sports to bring back NCAA game and a baseball game, they should just go back to 2007 and bring back an NCAA baseball game.
Yeah, which was NCAA baseball was, that was their way of taking advantage of the MVP baseball engine that they couldn't make anymore because 2K Sports had the third-party license. And they're just like, well, let's use it. Let's get college baseball and we'll keep
You could trade players in that game, couldn't you? Isn't that right?
In the college baseball game?
I think you could.
I want to say, I think in the first one you might have been able to. I don't know about the second one. But it had load and fire hitting. Come on, guys.
A
lot of its guts survive now. I mean, load and fire, rock and fire. Rock and fire was the pitching mechanism. You know, when you're getting into gesture based hitting and pitching, they were at the forefront of that.
Yeah, and then MLB 2K came along and took some of those concepts, and now the show has some of those concepts integrated in as well. So, I mean, I think what it comes down to is now you do see, as we talk about this, you do see how much influence college games had on even the games we play today. So I completely understand why people are desperate for them to come back. And, you know, maybe some will. We're not entirely sure. We're probably, you know, we're not going to have any definitive answers for that for a year or two, if it's even possible to happen. And then, only then, do you get to the question of whether anyone wants to do it, because they don't. It's going to be more difficult to determine how profitable that can be. So I just want to thank everybody who was on the show tonight. Kat Bailey from US Gamer, Owen Good from Polygon, and TJ Lowerman, who I almost forgot again, from That Sports Gamer, or as That Sports Gamer. Thanks very great deal for coming on to the show and spending time talking about this. And we will be back probably in 2 weeks to tackle another topic. So take care until then.